News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, as you heard Andrea mention in the news headlines there, a groundbreaking News Talk survey is released today looking at women in Ireland. The survey, which was conducted by Red Sea for the station, found that 60% of people believe that men and women are not treated equally here. The Women in Ireland survey also highlights the differences in attitudes among women from different socioeconomic groups across the country. The survey findings can be found in detail on newstalk.com. Some will be released today, more tomorrow. But joining us this morning for the launch of the research is our own reporter, Aideen Finnegan, who has been poring through all the data in great detail. Aideen, what are some of the key findings in this report?
So you mentioned there, this News Talk Red Sea Women in Ireland research found 60% of the population doesn't believe men and women are treated equally in today's society. An overwhelming majority agree that pay and career prospects are more favourable to men. Excuse me. And one in four people didn't know what the Me Too movement is. So just a bit about the poll itself. Of the 1,009 respondents, 51% were women, 49% were men. And that's weighted against the population of the 2016 census. People across the 26 counties were asked for their opinions. 42% ABC1s and 52% C2DEs. Those are just marketing terms, basically, to classify people from different sections of society. So they were asking everyone from employers to housewives to professionals to semi-skilled workers to people who are retired. So overall, 3 in 5 people don't believe men and women are treated equally in Irish society. But of the men who answered that question, just over half believe they are. And of the women who answered, just under 70% believe the genders are not equal. So this research shows there's actually a gap there between the sexes and the perception of inequality.
So, right, that's the overall outlook. But then when you dig down into the details, I assume there's a bit more nuance to it.
Yeah. So people were asked, in what areas of life is society more favourable to men or women? There was an overwhelming majority who believed the system of pay and career progression is stacked in favour of men. 91% of men and women who answered believe that. That's huge consensus on that issue. But in terms of education and healthcare, close to 3 in 4 believe those are equally available to men and women. The 1 in 4 still believe there's a male bias in both cases.
All right. And then we get down to the nitty gritty of gender roles.
Yeah, here's where we see an absolute massive swing in either direction for this one. So people were asked, who is expected to take on more responsibility in the home for childcare, DIY and being romantic? So over 3/4 believe women are expected to take on the responsibility in the home and minding the kids. It's actually 82% believe there's a societal expectation for women to take the lead on childcare. 90% believe men are expected by society to be in charge of DIY. And almost 4 in 10 think there's equal onus on men and women to be romantic, but half believe society expects more from men on that score.
Let's go back to something you said at the start, this Me Too figure. 1 in 4 people didn't know what the Me Too movement is.
Yeah, does that surprise you?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is interesting. The same number again did know a lot about it though. 40% of people had heard of it and knew a little bit about what it was. So for the 1/4 of those who don't know, Me Too was a hashtag on Twitter that exploded in October of last year. It began with the American actress Alyssa Milano, of Charmed fame. She basically encouraged women who'd been sexually assaulted or harassed in the past to outline their experiences just to show how common it is and to post it on Twitter with the hashtag Me Too. So the sharing of stories ended up lifting the lid on just how many allegations there were surrounding the Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. And people like Uma Thurman started sharing these absolutely shocking stories about how endemic the problem was in Hollywood. Eventually, though, of course, it led to a bit of a backlash with claims that Me Too was basically just trial by social media and was ruining reputations without any proof of wrongdoing. So back to our survey. For the 75% who were aware of Me Too, they were asked a series of questions. Close to 3 in 4 believed it had been a positive influence for women in Ireland by raising awareness and starting conversations. 3 in 5 think it's still as relevant as it was last year. But 65% believe it had been diluted by unrelated claims and unreliable accusations.
Interesting. So obviously some people who believe it's been diluted still think it's relevant by those figures. Interesting. Were there any other trends that came out of the survey?
So women, people from higher socioeconomic groups and the retired were more likely to say there is inequality between the genders. They were more likely to perceive that that's the case. And the people who are more likely to have experienced gender-based discrimination are women, people aged between 18 and 44, the unemployed unemployed, excuse me, or full-time students.
Are you going to have more details for us tomorrow,
yeah.
I mentioned?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back into the discrimination there. We'll find out a bit more about that. We'll also have more results from the survey around the reporting of rape and sexual assault.
Very good. Look, Orla O'Connor from the National Women's Council as well is going to be joining us shortly after 8 to talk through some of the findings of this News Talk Red Sea survey. And as Aideen said, tomorrow, digging into some of those figures, particularly around discrimination, really interesting stuff in it on perceived prejudice and discrimination and how different it is across age groups. We won't give it away, but I have had a sneak peek and well worth tuning in for tomorrow. Aideen Finnegan, Aideen, thanks a million for coming to us.
14 minutes past 7 on News Talk Breakfast with Kieran Cuddihy and Shane Coleman. Let's go back to that ESRI study on job stress among employees. ESRI Senior Research Officer Bertrand Matre joins us now. Bertrand, just remind us the main findings of this survey, please.
Yes, good morning. So the main finding is that, you know, I mean, just going to say a few words. I mean, we're launching, you know, today this report, you know, on job stress, which has been funded by the Health and Safety Authority. So what we did, we look at, you know, the level of job stress in Ireland and how it has changed, you know, between 2010 and 2015 and how, you know, it compares, you know, with a few European countries. And what we found is that we found that in 2010, the level of job stress in Ireland was really relatively low at 8%. A level very similar, you know, to Denmark, for example. So it really had, you know, one of the lowest level of job stress. But by 2015, you know, it had increased to 17%. And in the meantime, you know, the average, you know, for those 10 countries, you know, went from 16 to 19%. So in 2010 and 2015, in fact, Ireland still, you know, had a lower level than average, you know, in terms of job stress. But really, there was quite a very large increase anyway in job stress in Ireland compared to a few European countries.
Bertrand, I think the findings may surprise people because you go back to 2010, that was pretty much the height of the economic crash. There was tens of thousands of people, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs. You had people having their pay cut across the board. And yet, stress levels are much higher a number of years on when the crisis has well passed than it was back then.
Yeah, it's very difficult to know. I mean, I presume, you know, 2010 might have been, you know, quite early, you know, at that stage. You know,
yeah, thick of it at that stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that
the troika,
you know,
were here.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't think really that, you know, I mean, there was really, if we had, you know, data where we would have been able to follow, you know, workers, you know, years after years, you know, maybe we would have been able to see that kind of a
okay.
rising trend, you know.
Well, let me ask you a different question then. What is driving this increase in stress, do you think? Do we know?
I think, you know, I think part of the explanations might be, first, I mean, we saw really an increase in terms of the pressure, you know, for work demand, you know, and among those, for example, we found that, you know, emotional demand, you know, really was one of the contributing factors, you know, on job stress. Time pressure, as you know, was a very important one as well. And a third one, and I think, you know, which is a bit related maybe to what I've heard, you know, just the end of the previous speakers, we talk about as well, you know, the contribution of bullying, harassment, sexual harassment, verbal abuse in the workplace, that kind of thing. And those really are really significant, very strong, you know, predictors and associated, you know, with job stress.
I wonder as well how much of it is driven by technology. Look, I'm just thinking of my own job as a journalist. When I started off, you kind of did switch off when you went home. Of course, you watched the news at 9 o'clock, whatever, but you didn't have a piece of equipment in your hand where the news was coming in at all hours of the day. At weekends, there was no emails to check. You did largely switch off. Today there's kind of no escape, and I'm sure lots of jobs are like that as well. How much is technology a factor, do you think?
Well, we didn't have a look at that, you know, but really what we try to look at, we really try to distinguish, you know, what is really work-related work pressure and job stress, really from really, I would say, work-life balance or, you know, if people could have financial difficulties. So we were really able to really dissociate, you know, what is really work-related stress and what could be stress, you know, related to your life outside. But, you know, you have the kids, you're really under pressure, you have to, you know, you're very busy with the kids and you have, you know, financial difficulties and so on. So we really took account of that, and really the results that we know we're showing, you know, this morning are really just work-related stress. You know, it has nothing to do really with the outside world, you know.
Really? Because yeah. I would have thought technology has to be a big driver of stress in the work. If you feel you're never getting away from work, I know you didn't specifically look at this in the research, but I would have thought it must be a factor.
Well, we don't have an element of that. You know, I mean, I can say that, you know, for example, if you have, you know, checking, you know, your phone, you know, every 10 minutes or, you know, on the internet or that kind of thing, you know, that maybe that's contributing so that, you know, you don't really cut really from work. You know, we don't know about that, you know. What we found is that, for example, you know, working long hours effectively, for example, was as well associated, you know, with job stress.
Okay.
But, you know, I think the impact of technology, you know, on that, you know, I mean, that we can't measure that.
Okay, fair enough. Fascinating research. Thanks indeed for talking to us this morning. Bertrand Matre, ESRI Senior Research Officer. Thanks indeed for joining us.